I believe that with all my heart. I believe that is why all of us, whether you've been just got saved a few weeks ago or just gave your life to the Lord sincerely a few months ago or walked with him for decades, there is a convergence of God calling forth himself in us. And it can be, it's just as hairy as it was for the first Christmas and as wonderful and exciting and exhilarating. So God, for me, I'm looking forward to discovering how this second Advent's taking place. You know, because the first Advent took place in kind of a strange way. And in fact, let's just go to Luke chapter 1 and look at it. And then I want to make some parallels to the way God works. Recently, I was walking with the Lord and I'm talking to him. And I have 38 years of journeying intentionally with Jesus. So 38 years gives enough time to have done a lot of things right and much, many more things wrong. It has a lot of chance to observe things as you saw them when they came and then how things unfolded and yet come back to what God has said and know it's still to be true but not have a clue on how it could ever be. And all of that gives me a great opportunity to look at chaos with a whole nother approach. When you first get saved and you're excited about God, you're trying to stop chaos from happening. I've become aware that chaos is the ingredients of beauty. It is the movement of God where it can no longer be controlled, the circumstance of man, where God begins to call light to shine out of darkness. So I'm walking with the Lord and saying, Dad, you know, you spoke these promises, some of them decades ago, and now you know where my life and my capacity. I'm like Abraham. Now I'm getting old enough to know that I don't have the ability to produce what I first thought I could. And I'm going, wow, you saw all that, and yet you made the promise knowing that this would be the outcome of my life, and yet you were confident in yourself that you could complete what you said because it wasn't up to me. It was up to what you do by what you said. And so all I have is chaos. And he's going, I like chaos. I like confusion. I like voidness. I like brokenness. And I just kind of dropped in, and I just started going, yeah, exactly. Every time you broke into the earth in a powerful way, the earth was in chaos. And politically, religiously, physically, and you broke in. So we are really in a perfect place. And in May, Jesus started speaking to me about the generation that we all are a part of, whether we are the war generation or the boomers or whoever. All of us, all the way down to this, the 12-year-olds today, are immersed in a complexity of darkness that will require an intervention of God to break through most of it. And that he was coming to liberate his people. And I've told you that before because it was a profound experience. And it continues. I see it in demonstration how it's happening. And I would say to you, in a big way, right now, it's the day dawning and the morning star rising that's happening, which is in 2 Peter chapter 1, which probably would be where I'd take us at the end of this message if I was actually planning on how I was going to do it. Because there, Peter, who saw the glorified Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, and at the end of his life is writing this last letter and says, I want you to have a good record of what I have saw and what I've taught you so that you can be reminded after I'm gone. And then he goes into this moment of transfiguration of Jesus and talks about the glory and the overshadowing of God over them. And then he talks about you have this word as a light that shines in a dark place. And that's how he described us in life, as we hold a salvation through Jesus Christ that can feel like and look like and is indeed a light that is shining in a dark place. And he says, until the day dawns and the morning star rises. So the light that we hold that is shining in the dark place will once again overtake darkness. It will dawn. It will rise. And this morning star will be seen again. And Christ will be revealed inside his body. And I know for that to happen, it's not a mental thing, a will thing, a works thing. It's going to be a God thing. Just like the first Advent was a God thing. And so when Mary, in chapter 1 of Luke, you know the story, but let's just take a moment and read it. Verse 26, "And now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you,'" which is the same word for overshadow in the Mount of Transfiguration. "And the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore, the Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God," because this will be by the instrument of Holy Spirit. "Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" This story that we're so familiar with is happening again inside the bride or the body of Jesus Christ in a very vivid and real and as tangible way as this. Yet it is maybe, because it's a multi-membered body, it's much larger and probably difficult to discern. But then again, that day was difficult to discern. There was only one angel, and there was only one Mary, and there was only one event. In a moment of time, something was taking place. And she believed the word. What it takes for life in the kingdom is the word of God and the spirit of God to become one. The word of God believed is how it is, how the seed, and it's the same idea of sperm. That's where we get the word seed and in, mixes by faith and settles into our spirit. The spirit of God is the gestation and life and molding and flow and force that causes that which we believe to come to pass. That can take 400 years, 40 days, 40 minutes, 40 seconds, depending on what it is that we hear and believe and what God is intended to do with what we hear and believe. We can try to hasten a word past into a 40 40-day cycle that is a 40-year promise. And we can't get it out of the 40-year promise because God is sovereign. We can try to delay something that God is hastening, and we can't delay it because, again, God is sovereign. Once God's word has been spoken, there is the power inside itself to come to fulfillment, and there comes forth a sound. Carriers of the word recognize other carriers, like Elizabeth and Mary. And they recognize that once the word of God is conceived in you, your voice begins to become a sound that carries the word. And that voice can be heard by others who are carrying the word or promise. And the Spirit of God quickens and awakens and connects. Now think about this. Mary, she receives probably the greatest revelation anyone has ever received as an individual, and the greatest promise, the greatest honor, and she is most blessed among women because what she received. Now, you would look at her life then, and you'd have to say, I'm not sure if I would call what follows the most blessed among women. First thing is, her marriage falls apart because now her husband wasn't there at the meeting, and he didn't hear the prophecy, and he's not so sure that there is such a thing as a virgin birth. Though the scriptures say it, he's not sure why she should, and his mind goes natural. And he plans to put her away, which is why she heads off to Elizabeth's house, which is the first prophetic conference of the New Testament. They gather together and they share prophetic sound to strengthen one another. And that's what we need to do. And that's why when we gather, we do for each other what we give to each other. We release sounds, and sound begins to increase, and the voice of God begins to be heard in our voices. It's so important. And that's what I believe in Wednesdays are going to happen by the Spirit of God, to move each of us in forward in our destiny. Because you're not in this house if you have not heard the Word of God already. Even if you're going, I'm not sure I'm wanting to go with the Word of God, you've heard something that called you, and we're collected together like a company of Elizabeths and Marys and Simeons and Annas and just people that are continuing in a journey that we're not sure anymore what that journey even is. When God gets a hold of Joseph, and Mary and Joseph get it back together, now they have to live in Nazareth where everybody knows these guys aren't fully married, and yet she's showing. And then to make matters worse, she's got to go to Bethlehem because of some governmental decree that's just ridiculous. And then they can't find a hotel because they forgot to, you know, use Expedia before they took off. And then they're having a baby in, you know, in a shepherd's field. And it just, you know, I don't know about you, but mothers tend to have a new mother or expectant mother has a dream of a birth, just like a girl has a dream of her marriage. And they rarely go like you dream. And all our daughters, they will go, oh, how can this be happening? Is I supposed to be this or that? And, you know, that's part of what happens when you carry something that's not your own. It's very inconvenient. And the sovereignty of God is overriding the personal desires of a woman. The baby dedication isn't any better because she's told that she's going to have a sword piercing her heart, and that she's so that her thoughts and her experience will open up the thoughts and of the hearts of many. For this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, which is really a good clue that you're going to fall before you rise when you meet Jesus. The fall and rise of many in Israel. Now, you're barely getting resettled in this new city that you've decided to live from. It's not like driving to San Diego and back. It is, you've walked there, now you're living, you're building, and about 2 years later, you get this enormous greeting from the Far East, these magi that come that you don't really know who they are or how they dressed or their language, but they come and offer these gifts. But no sooner have you felt like, whoa, this is a huge confirmation, and Joseph's waking you up and saying, Mary, the angel showed up again and said, we've got to leave right now, right now. And now you're on your way to Egypt. Well, who wants to go to Egypt? You know, it's just not what you're dreaming of. And on the way, you're getting down in the Negev, and finally you hear, as you're resting, you hear the reports, there has been a slaughter in the town of Bethlehem. Like Herod, this madman, this envious, jealous king, has slaughtered all the infants 2 years and under, and everyone, every male child is dead. And you realize, whoa. And you're glad you're gone, but you're so sad of what's come. And here you are now in Egypt, living, growing, planning to stay there. And again, the angel comes to Joseph, take the child and the mother and go back to the land, for he who was seeking to kill him is no longer alive. And so you journey back to Israel. But you're told, don't go into Judea, because his son, nephew, is now ruling. He's as crazy as the rest. Head on up to Nazareth, where is your last place you started. And here you are full circle, and you're growing up carrying a baby, and then a child, and then a young child, and then he grows up to be a carpenter, starts a ministry. You're so proud of him because he's such a good rabbi, until he comes back and preaches his first sermon at the synagogue, and they get upset at his association of himself to Scripture. They can't receive the Christ because they know the Nazarite, the Nazarene Jesus, whose parents and brothers and sisters. So they can't receive the new Jesus because of the old Jesus they knew. And they want to get rid of him. And it just continues all the way on. Halfway through his ministry, you're getting your family trying to pull him out of where he's going because he's going beyond where he ought to be. You want counsel with him, he won't receive you in a meeting even though it's overcrowded. There's no special seating for you anymore. Because he says anybody who does the will of the Father, anyone who listens to the voice of the Father, is his mother and his brother and his sister. And so all of a sudden, you're outside of any special claim to this one you carried through all these seasons. Can you imagine this? Now, this is Mary, and she didn't know this when she said, "Be it done to me according to your word." None of us know what it means when we say, "Be it done to me according to your word." If you could fast forward what it means when you underline yellow in your Bible, you might keep your highlighters in your pocket, because you don't know where the word of God is going, because it is the light. He is the light. Now, just to close that little picture of Mary, though, think of the day. Well, think of 2 days that are really touching. One is on the crucifixion, when the words of Jesus, and he looks down at his mother, who's just beside herself, and says, "Woman, behold your son," pointing to John and his disciple. And John, he says, "Son, behold your mother." And all of a sudden, there was that tender connecting, affirming, recognizing value, and a very precious moment, heavenly recorded, one of the seven words of Christ. But then the next one, I think, probably had to be a kicker. In the midst of this 119 newbies of the Holy Spirit, they were all drunk in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, having a time of their life in this glorious outpouring of the Spirit. And there's this one other, 119, there's this one older elderly lady. And she's going, "I've been here before. I know the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Whoa, same Holy Spirit. Oh." And she's just relishing, not only in the new birth and the identity and the immersion, and she's, we're in the second advent. It's begun. The Spirit of God overshadowed me and put Christ in me. Now the Spirit of God is overshadowing flesh, and causing the sound of the voice of God to be heard, the prophetic, the vision, the dreams, the movement. Oh, I've been here. It's like when we were in the charismatic renewal, and we'd have the Pentecostals in the group and say, "Oh, I've been there before." When the laughing of the renewal hit in Toronto, and everybody's going, could this be God? Cammie and I always knew it was God, because we'd been in it 100 times, another 100 places, because that's just one of the things God does. He's happy. And most of us are way too sad. If not sad, we're too serious. And so he just ignites and releases. And so there's always that, "Oh yeah, I've been there, let it go. Yeah, keep it coming." That's the Holy Spirit. Actually, it's not even that short of a history. Holy Spirit's all the way back in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, isn't he? God created the heavens and the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. Holy Spirit. Darkness, void, without form. That describes anything God's about to do a miracle in. You want to be a miracle? Just check your life out. Is there a wreck somewhere in it? That's where the miracle's coming. Is there a disaster someplace? That's where the miracle's headed. Is there a place that's without form? Is there a wasteland? Is there a difficult situation? That's where the miracle of God will come. Because God brings out of the unseen to create the seen, and he brings out of the ashes to pull forth beauty. The substance of chaos is where God moves. Now, we as believers hear words, and we then interpret their fulfillment in one way, and then we're in some sovereign transaction. I mean, it wasn't, you know, Caesar that said, hey, I think we need more money in our tills and we're going to tax the world and find out where everybody is. Yes, he thought those thoughts, but they did not originate with him any more than Cyrus thought the idea that we ought to agree with Daniel's prophetic voice to send back the treasures and rebuild the temple. We're a part of something so huge. In fact, Holy Spirit today in Romans 8 says this is basically his continual ministry. He hovers over the body in our, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. He says, don't worry. I like chaos. I thrive on confusion. Let me in. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, let me brood. The word brood, like he was when he hovered, that's where we get the word brood, like a hen over her chicks, or a resting. Holy Spirit rests over chaos, marinating movement. Chaos is a great definition. Check it in the dictionary. It is when nothing will submit to practical application. When you go right, it goes left. When you plan up, it goes down. When you say stop, it gets going. And chaos is the precursor for every new dispensation of God. Every dispensation of God is bred in chaos or birthed out of chaos. And so what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's going and he's saying, come on, let me pray for a few minutes. How about let me just speak in other tongues with you? Or let me just lean into that emotion that you're praying. Let me give you my emotion that you can feel. Let me let the sound of my voice rise. Let me do it because I know where we're going. I know what God's doing. I'm so excited about what's about to happen. I am so thrilled about what's going on. He is the God of hope. Holy Spirit is in charge of hope. Jesus in charge of faith, and Father's in charge of love. Now, they all exemplify all three attributes. But God so loved that he gave his son. And Jesus kept going about faith. And Jesus dwells in my heart by faith. And Romans 15:13 says that the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace in believing we can abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when you bump into the Holy Spirit, he's overly optimistic. You're about to quit. He says, let's go now. We're ready. And so he says, come on, because I got the plan, and I know the man. Jesus is the one you're being conformed to. And I'm going to take everything, not some things, not maybe only the good things that you did for God, everything, and conform it and pull it into the good column. You see your life, 70% bad column, 30% good column. Before this thing's over, all the 70% bad column goes over to the good column. And the good column looks like Jesus. That's simple, overly simplistic, but true to the promise of God. He's hovering over the face of the deep. He's just brooding. How long, we don't know. time has only begun recorded at the fall of Adam. We don't know any of the pre-Adamic fall or pre-Adamic state when he, all of the creation. And so we don't even, days are only started counted after the word says, let there be light. So you see, you've got Holy Spirit is the, he's the one we want to be aware of. He's the precursor to the miracle. He's the precursor to light be. He's the precursor to Christ being conceived. He's the precursor to Christ being seen again. He is moving. And yet, all of our lives can get, especially if you can plug up the well or stop the river from flowing, then you can shut, you can delay the maturity of the seed, because you've got to have water for the seed to grow. You've got to have the flow. And how do you stop water? You cause offense, trauma, betrayal, distraught. You just, or distraction or confusion. It's just multiplicity of ways. But you'll find that you're stopped when there's either an invitation to open up or a nudge to believe. And you go, I'm not sure. No, wait. I'll make sure this is true this time. And yet the whole of the kingdom is this childlike, sure, Dad. Why not? I'm yielding again. It's this, to yield to the Holy Spirit, there's no guarantee what's going to happen. Because in sovereignty, you will be moved as needed to be where you are to be at the time of the revelation of what, of the manifestation, the unveiling of completion. And that journey, we may cry. I know I am the most miserable, dire complainer there is. Because this is a simple truth. Why do women have babies? Because men wouldn't. Come on. Why do women pray more than men? Because men won't. There's something about a birthing that is not very fun. And usually at the time you're in these moments of transition, we want to stop the whole journey. Just go backwards into something that was safe once. But you can't go safe. You can only go forward. You can only move. Cammy said something so profound, and I think it is totally apropos to the whole body of Jesus. We were sitting at the table at Thanksgiving we had all of our kids except Christy and Marcus and her dad, my mom, and we were talking, and brother, and we were talking about what were we thankful for. And she said, I'm thankful that we have all, as a family, everyone encountered obstacles, struggles, troubles, distress. Everyone, something has been the challenging of our movement, but no one has stopped moving forward. And I thought, that's the Lord. That's God. That's all He asks of everyone in this room. Don't stop moving forward. Don't stop looking for the day to dawn and the morning star to rise. Don't stop. You're carrying Christ. You're carrying Christ just as Mary was carrying Christ. But it's more beautiful and manifold than it was then, because we're now carrying the glorified Christ. We're carrying the one who's coming the second time without regard to sin. We're bringing someone who's going to shift things so radically. We're the peace giver, the lover, this the light that shone in Christ when He was in His first advent, which John 1 talks so beautifully. It says, we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God. Then in Romans 8, we're told that the Holy Spirit's job now isn't to bring us into the image of the only begotten Son of God, but to bring us into the image of the firstborn among many brethren Son of God. Because what Jesus became through His resurrection, now we are being conformed to. Oh, His Holy Spirit. He's brooding, waiting, because only Father knows when it's appropriate and perfect to say, light be. And when light be, that's another word of saying sons of God manifest. Sons of God be revealed again in the earth. Earth yield again to the goodness of God through the sons of God. Be. Now, Petey did this great message in the first service and about love and about that it's not all about being in prayer because it's about serving and helping others and not doing it for yourself. And I want to say a good report to everyone. I'll give you a love test. Okay? We all know love is breaking forth. Do you want to know if you're in love? Is there anything that you're suffering in that you can't get out of? Is there anything that you're forced to have to be nice at that you don't want to be? You're in love. Love suffers long and is kind. You see, what we think love is what we call friendship in the Bible. Affection. Long after affection's gone, baby, love stays. All right? Love stays. How do you know you're in love? You're suffering something long. And you're being nice while you're doing it. That's love. So you see, you're all in love. Do you understand? Let's fan the flame of what's already being done. This is not about, oh, I'm still wondering if I'm supposed to be going north or south. You are going where you're supposed to be going. You are who you're supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be. God is about to reveal himself in you in a new way. You want to live in Nazareth. God wants you in Bethlehem. Now it's time to go to Egypt. Now he wants you back in Israel. No, don't go to Bethlehem. Now it's time, Nazareth. Now you're going to live with a stigma. Oh, yay, God. I just wanted a happy life and a bigger home. Come on, Dad. Is that too much? And God says, no, we're not about this house. We're about my house. We're about my revelation. I got you in a job that took me a long time to get you demoted there. I got you stuck in a neighborhood that took me a long time to stick you there. Why are you trying to get out? Let me in. Let me be. Let me reveal myself. It's inconvenient. Nobody wants to carry Christ. Yeah, seriously. I want to carry the stuff, the good stuff, you know. I like the prosperity message. I go with that one. But when it comes down, push comes to shove, no. If you've touched and tasted, you'll be just like Moses, going, even if you'll send an angel and give me everything you promised, but you won't go with me, then don't lead me. Because if I don't have your presence, what makes me distinct or I'm not going anywhere. Even though you may be David, the harp, the sweet psalmist of Israel, who designs the tabernacle that God's favorite house, and then comes up with revelatory experiences of the throne room that becomes the temple. When it comes down to the last moment of his breath, when he's under the weight of his judgment with Bathsheba, he says one thing and one thing only. He says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Get rid of the kingship. Trash the plans to the temple. I don't give a rip anymore. I was given a rip, therefore I was in a cover-up. I'm not in a cover-up anymore. Just one thing, only one thing. If you had to leave the planet, if you had to leave your occupation, and you could take one thing with you. That's what we're talking about. The most basic, primal, important aspect of God is the Holy Spirit with you. Because he is the brooder, the rester, the quieter, the stiller, the voice that allows for gestation, maturity, until the time it is said, light be. Voice of God beckons resurrection. And all of a sudden, everything, like Joseph, makes sense again. This wasn't my brothers betraying me. This was God sending me. This wasn't Potiphar's wife and her devious strategies to take me down because I wouldn't yield to her and my integrity. This was God getting me in a position to elevate me. This wasn't some butler who wouldn't be willing to remember me when he came into his own kingdom, his selfish little old butthead. Trust me, he had some real prayer moments. That's the only prayers that aren't recorded those 2 years. So honest time. It wasn't that butthead, it was God. Yeah. It was God, because at that time I would have just gone and told on my brothers and wrecked the family. I would have made such a fuss that brothers would have been scattered and shattered. And oh, that isn't what God did. God wanted me dead. He wanted me to be carefree of whatever I was caring about. He wanted me to become anything he needed me to be, including an Egyptian. He wanted me to shave off my beard, which was a part of my identity, and maybe do tattoos on my eyebrows. I don't know. But he wanted me to take another name and another wife from another religion and live in another kingdom and have a first child and say the child is named Manasseh, because God has caused me to forget. Because you got to forget if you're going to be fruitful in the kingdom. This one thing I do, forgetting, putting out of mind the things behind so I can reach forward. You and I are carrying the Christ this year. You've been carrying him since you said, I do. Since you said, Jesus, come into my heart and make me the person you want me to be. He said, great. I need a mobile company. I want to dwell. I'm going to fix. I'm going to make you for me. I'm going to make you for me. But the guy told me, no, you were for me. He said, well, he lied. He tried to get you to think I was here to serve you. You're here to serve me. But don't worry. I know who you're supposed to be. I know what will make you happy. You're living in fear, but don't worry. We'll deal with that. We'll radically affect everything, but we will complete everything. And when the end comes, you'll go, oh, God be praised. God be praised. God be praised. God be praised. And the only possibility of disruption in these things is when Satan becomes so agitated as he is in these days right now, and he overplays his hand, or we begin to become retreating in our faith. And we go, no, I can't go there. God will wait out, because a lot of times that's just more for everybody to catch up. The forerunners are out there, come on, God, Jesus is coming, come on. He's been saying this 40 years. They're us going, I don't want Jesus to come until I see my grandkids. Then about time your kids are getting 18, you're going, oh, God, come now. I don't care if you see my grandkids. But we're all being brought together. That's why this miracle will be greater than the first miracle. The first miracle was one woman and her husband. He had to keep on track. This is an entire billion plus company of a universal church of like faith, precious faith. And yet, if you go anywhere, you can feel it. You can hear the rumbling. You can sense the movement of spirit over things. And he's gone, give me some more darkness. I need some more void. Give me more emptiness. Give me some more confusion. Give me some more ashes. Give me some more stuff that doesn't work, because I need to have uselessness to bring completion. I'm so glad he's looking for that stuff, aren't you? I'm sure glad he's not going, at 38 years, you better at least have all this stuff dealt with. You should no longer have any needs and should be on top of everything and produce something worth something. No, 38 years is enough time for me to learn I can't do anything. Actually, 17 years, 35 years, this is a different, each demarcation. Less of me, more of him. We are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in our ability. That's who we are. Let's stand up. Oh, Holy Spirit, praise you. I feel the Holy Spirit in this room. I feel his abiding, fluttering, brooding wings. I sense his coming and I'm percolating like the fountain of living water. I sense his movement. And as Jesus said before, it's still true today, who is thirsty, let him come. Come and get a drink. We don't think less of ourselves in the afternoon after we've been working hard in the yard that we need a drink. Why would you think less of yourself now that you need a drink? We were never made to sustain ourselves. We are not cisterns. We are not cisterns. We are either rivers or fountains. Heavenly Father, come. Holy Spirit, come. If you're thirsty, take a drink. Thirsty, take a drink. Holy Spirit, I'm thirsty. Lord God, I can't go where you're taking me. I can't complete what you promised me. I can't do what you spoke over me. I can't bring Christ forward. My effort of bringing Christ has done damage to more people than it's helped. But I can yield to Christ that's in me, but I can't bring him forth. I can't complete promise. I can't fulfill. I can't even move mountains. Holy Spirit, come. Come on. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you recognize that he is the one who fills and heals, and he's the one who does miracles and supplies, and he's the one who comes by the hearing of faith? Well, come on, then pull and receive him. Welcome him. Recognize him. Acknowledge him. I don't know that we're in a light beam moment, because I don't think we've been brooded over. I think we got to go back, let the slow cooker turn back on, the crock pot, and let Holy Spirit just marinate. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Alive, we welcome you, Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I'm carrying you. I don't know where you're taking me. I want to carry you. Help me carry you. Help me journey with you. Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. You know what to pray. Bring forth your prayer. Bring forth all things to conform to goodness, to what you purposed. Jesus, I'm going to be like you, but I can't do it. I have to see you. Open my eyes to see you, Jesus. Open my ears to hear you, Jesus. Open my heart to understand you, that I might turn to you, that I might encounter you, the risen Lord, the resurrected Christ, who can dwell in my heart by faith and appear to me in a vision, or be revealed to me in the word, or be heard in the spoken word. You who are able to complete what you began. You who are able to finish the book you wrote. You who are able to finish my faith. Complete my faith. Holy Spirit, fill me. Brood over me, cover me, surround me, rest upon me, and heal me. And Lord God, I look to you to do these things, not by might and not by power, but by you, Holy Spirit, mountains, obstacles, move. And grace completes it all. The gift of God, salvation, settle upon me, rest upon me, be seen in me. This little light of mine is shining in the midst of darkness. I'm holding this light fast because there's a day dawning and there's going to be a morning star shining. Come on, shine. Shine, Jesus. Shine, Jesus, in the midst of this dark world. Shine. 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 Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, God. Ministry team will be up front for prayer. If you can, join us Wednesday. Join us on the internet. Let's let the Holy Spirit start brooding at the level He wants. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And now off to the Jacob's Dream Fair and go buy something wonderful like an apron for your husband.